I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do I need an attitude adjustment?
Yep.
Bruce does. Yes, Bruce does. And probably the most, the rest of us as well. Yes. And there is no better time to ask this question than right now during the Christmas season, because that is the moral of almost every single Christmas movie. All right. Think about it. Scrooge doesn't change his past. He changes his heart to redeem his future. Right. And in Home Alone, Kevin McAllister doesn't get a new family. His heart gets a new appreciation for the one that he already has. And George Bailey doesn't give up his life. He gives up his old misguided heart. And then there's the Grinch, who doesn't steal Christmas, but he gains the perspective that grows his heart three sizes. Or is it two sizes? Is it three sizes? We'll get there. That's my test, okay? But it grows his heart two or three sizes. So the question really is, why is it in every single Christmas movie? Why is that the theme of every single Christmas movie? And I'll tell you, this is why. Because Christmas is about Christ coming to heal hearts. It just is. And try as we might, we can't escape God's true meaning and message. You just can't do it. You just can't shut them up. It's true. In fact, that is the whole Christmas story. It's the story of God's word coming here. Even if we're like, oh, I don't want to hear it. It's God's word coming here down to earth on a rescue mission to chase us down after we went away. So don't you dare think for one second that any of this world or your life is off limits in any way. There's not one inch where he is not still at work. Because whether it is watching movies or baking cookies or shopping for gifts, Jesus just cannot be removed from Christmas. Because, for the record, he has always been in charge of the secular world too. Amen? He's in charge of the whole thing. And regardless of how hard we try to disguise, revise, and commercialize Christmas, it still shares more than just good vibes. It spreads the good news. Amen? I'm going to wake you guys up. Just say the word. You know this too, right? Like, if you just say the word Christmas, you're actually helping sneak Christ and his mission into every conversation. Right? And then if you're the type that's like, well, yeah, I'm going to take him out of it and I'm going to call it Xmas. Well, if you call it Xmas, well, you're actually teaching church history, since X is just the Greek shorthand for Christ that the Christians used forever and ever. So you're still saying it. And then if you try even harder, like a lot of us do, and you reduce it to a generic happy holidays, you're still encouraging celebration of Christian holy days, since that's where that word came from. He's got us pinned in from every side, right? But above all, the thing that I love the most about Christmas, regardless of what you believe, whatever's going on, is that everybody just seems a little bit better, right? Everybody's just a little bit nicer, even if it's just, you know, the grumpy person down there, one degree better. And I love that. But all of the improved attitudes that you see, raised by earthly gifts and gratitude, are just still shadows hinting at the comfort and joy in God's true gift of love and grace. Amen? That's the last amen. But even those shadows, like movies and all that stuff, they still point us back to the light. So do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. Because you see, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means, so is Christmas. Right? It is the same. Even if we wrongly think that we have the power to change what it actually means, we don't get to do that. Because we can't change God's truth. We can only change how we feel about it. That's what free will really is. Our authority over this reality, we can't change what stuff really is. Our authority over reality is just limited to our heart, how we feel about it. And how we feel about something hinges on how we see it. So when we focus on any one of those shifting shadows of Christmas, we may still be getting a sense of the light, but we are missing out on seeing the superior source of all those earthly things that we love. We're just missing out. We're just seeing the shadow of it. And that is a shame, because settling for less than a perfect Christmas present means that this is the verdict. Light came into the world, but people love darkness instead of light. Why? Why do we do that? Why would we take that? Why do we love the lesser message of Christmas movies, but refuse to seek the higher meaning from the source of all of our Christmas satisfaction? You know, why do we settle for less? Well, and the scripture goes on and it explains it, because the truth is, people love the darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil, right? Duh. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light and gets to see the whole thing. But here it is. I got to ask you this. Have you ever met one of your heroes? Anybody have that, like a celebrity or some person who you're like really into? It is terrifying, right? It is the scariest thing that you'll ever do. I've done it a couple of times with comedians. None of you guys know who this is, but he's one of my heroes. That's Paul F. Tompkins. Great, right? Anybody know him? Didn't think so. But it was a big deal to me, right? Comedian who I love. And when I watch their like comedy specials, I find myself watching and thinking, I'm like, yeah, we get it. We're the same. We're both hilarious and brilliant. Like, that's, like, we're the same. That is who we are, right? And then you go see him, and when it comes time to talk to him, I sound more like me, funny, like you, like smart too, that me, totally, we get. And they're just like, oh, does he need somebody to take care of him? And in that moment, I am suddenly aware, like very aware, of the difference between the real deal and a wannabe. And it is a very humbling experience. And that right there, that sensation, that feeling, that's why we like to avoid the light. Because shadows let us see what we want to see. Right? But we become vulnerable to the truth the second that we step into the light. And in the same way that I can let myself believe that I am the funniest man alive as long as I avoid being around funnier people, which is, so if you hang out with me, I don't know what that says about you, but the same way that I can do that, we can only believe our truth if we avoid the truth. So we do. We do it a lot, and we stick to celebrating the parts of God's truth that don't challenge our truth. Because whether it is our marriage or our money or this Christmas, the big humbling truth that we are all avoiding is this: I'm the problem, right? I'm the problem. We don't like to hear that. We would much rather believe that I'm the victim. Because that makes our circumstances the problem. And then the only thing that needs to change is everything else except me. And that is wonderful. I much prefer that. So we don't really entertain the idea of an attitude adjustment like we should. And instead, we assume that our lack of comfort and joy means a lack of fun and games. And then we just aim all of the adjustments instead at all of the material matters of our circumstances, right? I just need a new car. That's the problem. We relocate, right? We redecorate. We rehydrate. We remedicate until we feel a little bit better. Because focusing on shadows of problems lets us believe in shallow answers. Way easier. Way easier. And to give you an example, I hope this does come as a surprise to most of you, but I used to be a cynical, angry, and condescending jerk. There's the gasp. First service, everyone was kind of like, yeah, go on. I was like, where's the gasp? Like, not you, Noah. You're so kind. No, well, anyway, believe it or not, I used to be a jerk. And it's only since I met my wife that I became remotely tolerable or nice. But aside from her calming presence, she brought another big change into my life. Size 13 shoes. Because up until she went shopping with me, I always bought size 10 or 11, even 9.5. She tells me I bought 9.5 at some point. And I just figured, that's shoes for you, right? Like, they're just, everybody hates them. They're miserable, right? So when she made me actually put my foot on the thing and it just went, you know, all the way out there, that's the noise it makes. all the way out to 13. She made me measure and buy the right size. The heavens opened and a choir of angels sang. It was just like, this is life like I've never lived before until this moment. And in that moment, too, it allowed me to believe that maybe I'm a much better person than I previously thought, because maybe my bad attitude was just a symptom of my bad circumstances. And with my new shoes, I might be the best guy on the planet. After all, this is the sort of reasoning. This is me. This is the former me. This is that jerk that you guys have never met. But I used to read, and I still do, I read a lot on like behavioral sciences, right? Because they fascinate me. And they are always connecting these complex outcomes to these very staggeringly simple origins. And for instance, I want to give you this example because this is great. And this is, for all you single guys out there, you need to know this. Did you know that people holding a warm cup of coffee rate a stranger as more warm and friendly than people holding an iced coffee? We're just that dumb. That's all it takes. But that means, guys, take your girl to Starbucks. That's all you got to do is just put it in her hand. And she's like, there's something about you I like. And you're like, refill. So in that moment, I'm thinking, you know, I'm like connecting those dots, and I'm saying, okay, so maybe this is it. Maybe we're all just victims of circumstance. Maybe that's just been my whole problem, was the shoes this whole time. Because if coffee temperatures can affect real relationships, then why wouldn't tight shoes decide our attitude? And that's all that's wrong with me, right? And as much as I wanted to believe that, guys, it's just not true. And we all know that that's not true. And we all know that there's more to the story, because if earthly experience really did affect us the most, if that was the determining factor in why we are who we are, you know, why are there so many lotto winners cursing their millions, right? Like, you hear that. And why are there so many cancer survivors praising their suffering? And why are there so many good Christians somehow feeling anxiety and harmony simultaneously? It just doesn't add up. And at some point, we have to admit that the truth runs deeper. Right? There's just something to it that we are not getting. And who knew, for me, that it would be Dr. Seuss who diagnosed my delusion? Because apparently the Grinch and I suffer from a very similar condition. You guys know the story. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head was screwed on just right. Or it could be perhaps his shoes were too tight. I get it. I 100%. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. And that's more than just one of Seuss's insightful blurbs. It's the source of all struggle, says the book of Proverbs. Pause for applause. Yeah, no. You want more? Freestyle, here we go. And my name is Nolan, I'm here. Nope, okay. This is the scripture that we've been talking about for some time, right? Which is this Proverbs, which is what it's all about. Above all else, guard your heart. Not your shoes. Guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. Has nothing to do with anything else. It all comes from your heart. So the real question is, how's your heart? How's it doing right now? How is your heart? Because without any intervention, our default is to settle for those shallow shadows. That's just what it is set on. And that is why we see so much resting Grinch face during the Christmas season. And it's a Christmas season that we claim we enjoy, and yet you see that all up and down the aisles of every store you go to, right? And the Bible actually has a name for the default setting behind RGF, and it's called our old self. And you were taught to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, for those shallow shadows, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And when your heart is finally having its Christmas movie makeover, when it's like, oh, we're putting on the new self, right? And it's changing. You will know when it happens, because you will hear it. You will hear that renewed attitude in all the things that the new you is saying. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of, right? You just wear it on your sleeve. And we know that too. That is our favorite part of the movie, of every Christmas movie. When Scrooge throws open the windows and he throws a coin at some kid and says, go buy the fat goose or whatever. And then when Kevin finally wishes to have his family back in Home Alone, oh, you know, I do actually miss them. And George Bailey says, one of my favorite lines in any movie ever is like when he learns the lesson and his heart changes and he goes, isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. That's the heart that you need, right? Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. And the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. And yet, right, as much as we love that, as much as we love hearing that heart change, and we love watching their hearts change right in front of us, the real question is, do we actually expect that kind of change in us? Right, to really happen to us. Because like we said a few weeks ago, there is, make no mistake, there is a battle for your heart. And the enemy doesn't have to destroy you, he just has to distract you. And if he can keep your heart focused on your situation instead of your Savior, well then he can keep you in those shifting shadows and out of the Christmas lights. And we just can't have that. And the unfortunate truth is, circumstances often override our heart. Right? It's unfortunate, but it's true. And even when we aim our efforts at recognizing the real reason for the season, and I do it every year, I feel like this year I'm gonna stay focused on what we're doing during Christmas and everything, and you're like, and Jesus came here, and it's great, and did you see what they're selling at Costco? It's incredible, it's so cheap, we gotta go right now. And then you just find yourself just all of a sudden, just shopping and all those things, and you've just lost sight of what we're doing this whole time, right? And you don't even try. All of that holiday planning and parties and pounds start to weigh us and our attitudes down and drag us out of that light. So what do we do? Nothing. Good night. That's it. It's just a real downer. Yeah, no. What do we do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. There's a very obvious answer to this, right? Our heart needs to override our circumstances. That's just what has to happen. Our heart has to override our circumstances. You know, we have to be able to say, isn't it great? I'm going to jail. Right? Somehow. The problem is, that's just a really tall order. Right? That's a really powerful heart. That heart that you're asking for has to be strong, and it has to be steady, and it has to be situation proof. And luckily, Paul has got the secret to that kind of success. We've been talking about it the last few weeks, right? He says, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And here it is. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Because you see, Paul's plan is to be strong enough on the inside that he can handle anything that happens outside. And he is saying that the secret to having a heart that can override your circumstances is having it filled with a truth that can overcome this world. Which is right where Jesus comes in, because he's the one who said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And I mean, the premise of the promise just couldn't be any simpler, right? We can have peace in the world when we have Jesus in our heart. That's it. I mean, that's why we're here, right? That's the whole thing, is you've tasted that. You understand that that's working. And that's not just wishful thinking, something that sounds nice. That is really what God actually did in us, because we're told, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, you know, that God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So in other words, God doesn't just send light to us. He lights something in us, which is why joy doesn't happen to you. It happens in you, right? That's you. He's not even looking at the gift, right? It's all in here. And that's where joy comes from, because it has nothing to do with the situation that you're in. And it's why Paul also says, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. I mean, that's the message, right? Live as children of light, because children of light have taken the humble and vulnerable step into the light, and they have discovered how their own heart is what is holding them back. And nowadays, psychologists even have a term for this condition. It's called miswanting, right? Miswanting. And it just means that we're really bad at knowing what will make us happy. Don't we know it? Because here's what we do. We all do it, and we know we do it. Sometimes we don't think that we're doing it. But what we do is we write these little mental movies that focus on a set of shallow earthly circumstances that we make ourselves believe will somehow lead to joy. We say these little things. Going into this holiday season, you know that you do this. This year, I got it figured out, right? This year, if the kids don't fight, and if we buy the right presents, and if the dinner is delicious and the turkey is moist and nobody drinks too much and the pictures all turn out really good and the Seahawks win, then it'll be the best Christmas ever, right? Yeah, that's what we do. That's 100%. And I just think, okay, here's what went wrong last time. Huddle up, we're going to get it done, right? Seahawks, get on the same page. We better pull this thing out. But the real story, really, right, as much as we're trying to pretend that that's what the story is going to be, the real story that we are all writing is this. Should be titled, How My Circumstances Are Holding My Heart Hostage. It's just true. How My Circumstances Are Holding My Heart Hostage. And that right there, that is a recipe for going full Grinch. Because it lets all of the noise jeopardize all of God's joys. It's just, it drowns it out if you let all of your circumstances get that loud. So if you hear your inner Grinch start to grumble, and you know you're gonna, it's gonna happen the second you're in line at like Walmart or something like that, and it's just gonna start grumbling. Use Paul's secret to adjust your attitude. Stop trying to change your circumstances and start changing your heart immediately. Right there, as soon as you feel it, right? Stop where you are right in that moment and step away from that shadow of the season, whatever it is. It's just like another stupid pie I gotta bake. Stop right there, you know? I gotta do something else. Stop whatever you are doing and reconnect with the real reason for the season, right? Walk away from it. And I'm being serious. I mean, let go. Whatever you got to do, buy one less present. If you find yourself in line, just buy one less present. And then on Christmas morning, you can tell whichever kid doesn't get the present. Look, it was Jesus or you. So we made the right choice today. And that's it. And they can't really, I want to be mad, but all right, you know. Or cook one less dish. You know, whatever the thing is that is making you lose track of that real, true source of joy. Just do one less. Attend one less party. Whatever it is, stop it the second that it feels more stressing than blessing. Then what are you doing? Just really knock it off. Stop right in that second. And then ask the Lord to reveal what it is that you're missing. Because the shadow is not doing it. So show me the light. Show me the light. What are we really doing here? Because right there, that's your big movie moment, your big Christmas movie, heart-changing moment where you get to adjust your attitude and un-Grinch your heart. And it is how you truly learn, like the Grinch, that Christmas comes without ribbons and it comes without tags. It comes without packages, boxes, or bags. Rather, it comes the same way that it has from the start, with Christ on a mission to rescue our heart. So step back from the spending and stressing and fights and step closer to the Father of heavenly lights. Just remember, our Lord's what each shadow's about, and your light heart will lead you beyond the shadow of doubt. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the unchanging love that calls us out of the shadows and into your heavenly light. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you make our faith bright and our hearts light as we adjust our attitudes by shifting our focus to the joys that rise above all of this noise. And Lord Jesus, we worship you as the King of our comfort and the source of all of our satisfaction. And we invite you into every single circumstance as that trustworthy anchor that keeps us all eternally content. And to that we all said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.